Good morning. Welcome to Local Matter Sports. This is your host, Sam Brooks. I got David Sadler from Overton County in the house today. We're going to talk about growing up in this area and then talk a little bit about his sports career as we go through the interview today. Welcome to the show, David.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
You've been on my list for a pretty long time, and I appreciate you coming on such short notice. I think it was last night that I cornered you and I said, "Hey man, I'd like to get you on the show." And you're like, "When is the show?" And I said, "Tomorrow." So appreciate you getting down here.
Thank you.
So we're going to just jump into growing up in this area. You know, this is Local Matter Sports, so we're going to relate a lot of stuff that we talk about to sports, but got a lot of interest in, I've known you for a long time. And I'm going to learn a lot today. I knew you when you from Tennessee Tech fame and being from Overton County. Of course, I was born in Livingston and then moved to Cookeville. So I've known you for a long time, but I have a feeling I'm going to find out a lot more about you today. It's going to be interesting.
I've known you longer than you've known.
Yeah, I'd say that's probably true. So I was thinking that you were also born in Livingston, but I found out you were not.
I was born in Detroit, Michigan, as I think about half the county was in Detroit working, and Mom and Dad's from Gainesboro, and they went up, they already had four kids when we went up there, and Dad worked in the Unirol Corporation, and so I was born in 1945, and I was about 3 months old, 46, when we moved to Livingston, up on a hill behind where Arby's is now, and they took a lot of dirt out of there, but I'm the only one out of eight kids born out of the state of Tennessee.
Eight kids. And you know, I for the longest time, I didn't realize my mom, Brenda Brooks, was actually born in Detroit, too. Mm-hmm. So there must have been a lot of work for folks up there.
Mm-hmm. It's migrant work. That's what it was before. But, yeah, and of course, know your mom and your Aunt Sandy and your grandpa, all your family, and then the Brooks side, of course, Sam and Bill and Joe. And I think they had a sister younger, maybe. Didn't know her.
Yeah,
Brooks, but, Sam, your uncle, whom you're named after, I guess you know that.
Yeah.
He was my eighth grade football coach. We were undefeated, maybe the first time in grade school for Livingston.
I've seen a picture of that.
We were an undefeated team, and we had a real good team.
So when you were growing up in Livingston, tell us a little bit about what it was like to grow up in a small town there.
Well, it was just pretty easy. I mean, you know, you went to school. All the kids went to school or church. Wasn't much to do except play football or basketball, some baseball during the time. It was just country living, you know. Church, everybody went to church pretty much on Sunday night and Wednesday night. Nothing was going on Wednesday night sport-wise because of church. And just a kind of an easy life, good life, you know.
You know, and you take a look at that, and that's a good point. You know, Wednesday nights were a little bit sacred, you know, in the past, and probably are still more so in small towns versus maybe bigger towns. But, you know, we talk several times about society in general and get people's views on, you know, how things are going. I think, you know, maybe the more we get away from that, you know, the more society stresses, if you will. I know you go to church, you're a religious person, so do I, and I think I've said it before, and I'll say it again. You know, I think if all of us acted a little bit more like Jesus, we'd be a lot better society.
Yes, we would, and I got strong views on that. When they took God out of schools, a lot of trouble started.
Well, that's a unique perspective because you were a board member for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know what the federal aspects of it are, but we do things probably a lot of schools don't do. I don't know if they'll come down and try and stop that or what the outcome will be, but it'll be a fight. And when they took, as a matter of fact, to show you how it's changed, they had a lockdown school shooting scare the other day. Turned out they tried to blow it up. It wasn't that much to it, but still yet it was to be looked in. And that's how far I can remember in the 70s they had shotguns and everything in the back window of the trucks at school, you know, and it's progressed and it'll continue to do so.
Yeah, and that's probably a deeper subject than we have a lot of time to cover on this show,
much
but it is pretty deep. And you know, I guess folks smarter than me will figure that out as time goes on, I hope. But, you know, growing up in a small town like Livingston, you know, there wasn't a whole lot to do beyond sports. You already stated that. So I would figure for you and you, eight kids in your family, for you and your family, sports played a pretty big role in growing up.
Well, it certainly did. Now, my mother was a school teacher also. She taught school there 30 years, and Daddy was a businessman. And my older brothers, John and Ken, of course, my brother Ken is still a known legend up there. He's the only one to ever play at the University of Tennessee. He and Hillary Carr were recruited up there, and Hillary took another path, but Kenneth stayed and played a lot of ball with Johnny Majors. Wow. And the Majors boys and Lucci and John Gall, Lions, played ball with them and played for the Quantico Marines. I don't know what his pro career would have been if he was even, he had an obligation to the Marine Corps. And he played with Quantico Marines, and he told me that they had five All-Americans on the Quantico Marines team that went into Marines, so they were a tough bunch. And Kenneth, like I said, I don't know if anybody's ever played up there, since him.
Wow.
And that was in the 50s.
That's cool. So family of eight, tell me a little bit about your mom, your dad, and hopefully if you can do it.
Oh, Lord. John, my oldest brother, he's a Navy dentist, a career man, retired from the Navy as a captain. And my three sisters were all educators, Gail, Nanola, and Diane. And then I was the fifth of eight. Donnie and Diane are twins. They were just younger than me. And then Jerry was a younger brother. He passed away with cancer. He was a pilot for FedEx, flew the big planes. Like I said, my sister Diane, during the COVID epidemic, I was in the hospital with COVID. Thought I was going to die, but she did pass away from COVID while I was in there. And devastated. She was an educator in the county, a doctor of education for years, and taught at Tech, adjunct faculty for years, and it was a devastating blow. And I have two sisters. My brother Ken passed away a couple of years ago, and we had quite a family, though.
Man, that's a big family.
And we talked about it being deep, but God was it in our family. The hierarchy was God, family, and then education. And so when their Sunday come around, eight Sadler kids were there Sunday night and Wednesday night. My dad was the elder in the church, and the Bible and God was their whole life. And interesting, I guess it's kind of boasting. Eight of us have college degrees.
Wow.
Six of us double degrees, and it was education was kind of stressed in there.
So. I'll tell you what, that is incredible for eight children all at that time, you know, to go be able to get degrees. And then you talk about having a FedEx pilot, someone in the military. I mean, vast and varied.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So quite an extensive family there, spread out and all over. And as we all get older, like say three of us are gone, and, time goes on. I played high school ball. We had a good team. I had a good teammate. A lot of people remember Mike Matheny, played at Middle Tennessee. And matter of fact, I think he intercepted Roger Staubach two or three times in an all-star game. Mike was a good athlete, heck of an athlete. But we had some good times, good athletes in. And
who was your head coach while you were
at Ellie Oakley. Ellie Oakley, yeah. He was my head coach. And I had his wife, as a matter of fact, for an eighth grade teacher, Jean Oakley. They're passed now. Melvin Johnson. Melvin Coon Johnson was assistant coach. I think he played at Tech, I believe, for a brief period of time. And he also played in Coalinga, California, where I went to school.
Wow.
I went to, when I graduated high school, I was going to California. Always going. During the time, the title 20s, 30s, Chip Poindexter, a Poindexter named prominent in Livingston, his brother was John Tom Poindexter, was policeman for years there, and their daughter Jackie was all Miss Basketball, I believe, in the time. She was an outstanding basketball player, but he had gone out there and made well, and he would recruit some of us boys out there to play football at the junior college. And I happened to be in a bunch of misfits out there, I guess, and I had to redshirt a year out of state. And then in 1964, we won the only first bowl, not the only, but the first bowl they ever won in Coalinga. It was quite an event. And we were ranked ninth in the nation. We played Santa Barbara City. Their school was about five times bigger than our town. And, of course, we were picked to just get beat to death. But we won 41, I think it was 41-19, not that I remember. But, and put them on the map. And so our team is revered there still. We held the record there for, God, years. And so I keep in touch with a lot of Kalinga people. They're great people. I have a lot of friends there. And so I go out there as often as I can and visit, and they come here. So Kalinga, California was big in my life. And then for what I had a couple offers out there to play, but I was going home. I had a deal here at Tech. Wilburn Tucker was my coach. Great fella, a real nice guy. And Coach Overall was still alive. He was still teaching some classes, I believe. So I came home.
People don't realize what an extensive JUCO program that the state of California has in football.
Big.
Aaron Rodgers, he went and played. There's a lot of people that have come out of that system that have made it big in the NFL.
Well, you have a chance to grow a little bit and not get trampled over by the juniors and seniors. You're kind of a growing process.
Which is an important step in the process.
And also helped me was that year red shirt. I grew, then, and you get older, and so that was good.
Well, Dave, we're with David Sadler today. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Welcome back to Local Matters Sports. This is your host, Sam Brooks, again talking to David Sadler in the studio today. And we left off, you went to Kalinga College, Junior College over in California and played a couple years, got redshirted there, had a good career, quick career there, and then you wanted to come back home to Tennessee Tech, good old Tennessee Tech.
Well, it's, I always tell my story, but I always kind of leave out certain parts, but one of them was my problem with alcohol. As a young man, I started drinking alcohol, and some people get over, some people get through. I didn't. I continued to drink, party, whatever, during my whole career, and I came back to Tech to play ball. And I was a pretty good player here. I lettered, but I had a coach I had some trouble with, and he had some trouble with me. And I share that certainly because I had an attitude for sure. But I played by lettered. In fact, I think I intercepted 3 passes in 5 games, which was pretty good, and was in on a lot of that. I was a linebacker. And Coach Tucker was a good man, good gentleman coach. And this coach, he didn't even last the next year. I could have come back and finished, but I probably figured the bars in Detroit needed me more than their scholarship, and they did. So I went up there and continued to work, and I could work. I was young, but I always had a problem with alcohol.
That's interesting because you grew up in a family of 8. You were in church every Wednesday. Every time the doors opened, you were there. How did that take place?
I took a drink. I took a drink one day. And from then on, the game was on.
That's all it took.
I feel like it was hereditary. There was alcoholism in not my mother and dad. Well, dad quit drinking before I was born and got to church. And I think he drank a little, or maybe a lot. But I never saw him take a drink. But my mother's 7 brothers, several of them had problems. My dad's brother had a problem. I feel strongly, and I'm a counselor also, I'll get that later, but I I feel it's hereditary. And when I took that drink, that was it. That was all I needed to complete the circle.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
So. It's amazing. So you took off to Detroit, and you're working. So you're a young man making money, and I'm sure that presented opportunities there.
Yeah, I worked there a couple of years, but I had a California connection. And a couple of years, I went back to California. My bunch had moved down to Long Beach. And so I went there, and that year I moved there, I met this California girl, kind of struck my fancy. Pam's my wife now. What a lucky woman. Anyway, move on that. We got married in, I guess, 72, and I stayed out there, I don't know, about several more years. We moved back to, my three kids were born out there, by the way, in California, Long Beach, and we moved back to Tennessee in 78. I went out there in 68, stayed 10 years more. This was after the Kalinga thing.
Right.
And come back in 78. My problems got worse. Progression in which the disease of alcoholism is progressive. But I had reached some bottoms finally. Finally, I did things. I went to work the Alaskan pipeline. I'd go get these jobs. The greatest job ever in the world. Maybe still is. It was just something else. And continued on there. Went overseas and worked and come back. Problems still got worse. But in 85, I went into Drug and Alcohol Treatment Center and came out. Had a brief encounter again with it. But in 1986, in fact, it was 3 months after my father passed, that I said, hey, this, you know, Dad had always tell me, you know, son, you need to do this. And then I knew that. But I finally, God saw fit for me to get a hold of it. And November 2nd, 1986, I didn't drink anymore and haven't since. And during that time, I went back to tech. That's when I went back and got my degrees. And I started a counseling business. I had Cumberland Plateau Recovery here in the area, Coogwell, Crossville, and Livingston. And I'm a national accredited licensed counselor and got my master's degree too. That piece of paper says I know something, whether I do or not. It just says certified by the state.
Well, that just so happened to be when I ran into you.
Your
family knew my family for a long time. Lord, I was played at Tech.
I went to all your games. Yeah, I went to. You're a great athlete too. Great receiver. Yeah, I remember that. A little small.
Well,
you wouldn't have got through me as a linebacker.
I was real small. It was cool because, you know, we would be in our classes with old Bob Johnson and all the guys over there, Dr. Brown and Flavius, of course. He was the head of the whole department over there. But, you know, here we are, and then you come into the classes and give us a very different, unique perspective.
Yeah. I try to work. I mean, I see a lot of young people, and I think, well, I just, you know, I try to pass on the message. Where I don't care where I am, I'll talk about my disease, about alcoholism and recovery and 12-step program that I still go to a lot, and because they're so prevalent this day and time that, you know, kids and the drug business, the alcohol, it's different. Maybe alcohol isn't that different, but drug business is entirely a new game, and so. Yeah, I remember coming in there with you boys. And, that was pretty cool.
Well, it's funny. You had instant cred. I mean, you know, you played football at Tennessee Tech. You were an alumni, and then here we were playing at that time. It ended up being a pretty cool relationship to draw off of. And not only did you teach us that the bookwork that we were doing was very important, but it was a new, unique perspective because everybody, people can tell us that. Our coach can tell us that. But you're a guy who lived it.
That's it.
You know, and now you're back getting your advanced degree.
Yeah. It's funny about Tech and even Livingston's association. When I was at Livingston, Tech didn't hardly recruit Livingston. They didn't hardly look at it. Like Matheny, man, he was, they didn't talk to me or any of us hardly. Other colleges did, but I don't know what that was about. But it's changed entirely. And we've had some, I can think of the Swallows family. Pat, I played ball with Pat. Pat was, and me were in the same grade. I think I know he went to Middle Tennessee. He might have played baseball down there and became a great coach and still affiliated with what's he with now? He's with an organization, TWS.
The Coaches Association.
Yeah, and Pat and his daddy, Elmo Swallows, was a coach and always a big supporter of the programs. You know, in fact, I think the baseball field up there is.
Yeah.
That's funny. I think it's named after him, but my daddy was mayor there and started that field.
Wow.
It was a swamp. It's built on a swamp.
Yeah.
But and Grant, Grant Swallows, I mean, you know, he's quarterback down here, an awesome, awesome quarterback. And I think had a lot to do with our championship playoffs being brought to Tech at that time. So, you know, there's families like that this day and time. We've got some boys, Carwiles playing at Maryville, Nathan, a good athlete, and I think the McDonald boy and that Carpenter, was that run of, there at Lindsey Wilson.
Yeah.
And some girls who've got the Lamb girls overseas playing ball, what you call a professional over there, I guess.
Yeah, professional women's.
That's Keely, is that her?
Keely Lamb, yeah. Bruce Lamb's daughter.
Bruce Lamb's daughter, yeah. And so we've got athletes. You can play ball if you want to play ball.
If you want to play.
You want to go on. So there's some good sports. And these colleges are accepting, if you can play ball, you can play ball. And you will play ball. So that's a great thing, you know. Sports are big.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit more about that. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with David Sadler. You're tuned in to Local Matter Sports. This is your host, Sam Brooks. I got David Sadler from Overton County, fame, in the studio today. And just touching on going to Tennessee Tech and then coming back and getting your advanced degree and the problem along the way that you had with alcoholism and how you whip that, you know, and are teaching others to do the same. So pretty extensive conversation there. And, you know, for me, Tennessee Tech and running into you at that time, you know, that was just really cool to hear your story. I remember several times, you know, you were able to get up in front of the class and talk to the folks about you. It seemed like the teachers and the professors love for you to do that at that time, you know, just to talk about real world things that could be meaningful to athletes at that time. And so it was a good time for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, so much, of course, we could talk all day, but I asked you last night and I read my brother John was in your Uncle Sam's class and there were eight of us, but I didn't know hardships per se. I never went hungry. We always had food. We always had clothes. Maybe not the best, but the patches and all, but we clean clothes and whatsoever. And I read an article about your uncle and your family, your dad and Joe. I don't know. You probably didn't know Joe, but he was a brother. They all helped Sam coach.
Joe was a big radio guy.
He was about 3 foot. But he helped coach Bill, all of them coach. Of course, your daddy worked for like, but they had hardship life. And I mean, if anybody reads that article, but your parents and whatever saw that you got a better upbringing than that. Not that they didn't have the situation. And I think about that time. I'm grateful, you know, that and you came. You married Livingston. Well, Randall Stoops' daughter.
Yeah.
And Stoops is a legend in basketball in his own right. Up in Livingston.
I try not to tell too many people I married his daughter, but it's out there. It's out there.
But Randall was one more basketball player, and I always tell though that he was 21 in eighth grade. Wilbur C. Smith wouldn't let him leave Independence, but. You know, stuff like that, it's important when I come in there. And if it hadn't, I had a lot of problems with alcohol. They were self-made. I kept drinking. I kept partying. I kept whatever. And I talk about that a lot because it's my life.
Yeah.
If it hadn't been for, and I'll use it, I might get cussing from some people, but if it hadn't been for Alcoholics Anonymous, God seeing that entered in my life, I doubt if I'd been here. And a 12-step program, and I just urge anybody with that problem. There's several things on the market, several this and that, but the one I've found that works, it's hard to beat total abstinence.
Yeah.
Total abstinence. No drugs to get off this, no drugs, da-da-da. Total abstinence. You don't get drunk.
Yeah.
If you don't take the first drink. And so I stress that in people's lives because I would talk more about sports and I've enjoyed it, but this is weed up.
Yeah,
in this area with this stuff and our sports pro, a lot of stuff we just eat up with it.
It's being affected.
It needs to be talked about. The secret's out. You know what I mean. So I pay attention to that. I take care of that. But in Livingston, Livingston Cougal Tech, it's you know we'd be here in 10, 15 minutes. And these kids run off to college, but they all run back to Tech, seems like, at least a lot of them. And
a lot
Tech,
of them.
Tennessee Tech is a fine, fine program. And it's we're in a rural area, and there's not big cities around us. You know, it's hard sometimes to get come here and excitement for all the players. And it's not like being next to Nashville or Knoxville, but it's an educational school. If you want an education or you want a good it's a place to come.
Yeah, and I just think logistically, you know, number one, you go to Tennessee Tech right now and you drive through, and the place is absolutely beautiful.
Isn't it? Yes.
I mean, they've seemed like they've rebuilt everything, mm-hmm. and the grounds are immaculate. I mean, I'm just impressed with, you know, the way that the folks keep the grounds and manicure, mm-hmm. you know, the whole campus. And there's so many things that have changed. The UC area, the UC is a different place now.
Going to the fitness center.
Yeah, and I've not even been in the fitness center yet.
Taj Mahal.
Everybody tells me how, and in the old fitness center, it's pretty dang good itself. And you know, I think being former football players at Tennessee Tech, you know, the only thing that stands out, and I've had some folks on the show already to talk about this, but the only thing that stands out is that stadium.
They're working on it.
They're working on it. You know, I think President Odom. I went to a business meeting a couple weeks ago, and you know, I think they've found and allocated the money for the stadium, and so eventually, next two or three years, that's mm-hmm. going to be taken care of. So I would say, you know, on the back end of what you said, the logistics of Cookeville, Tennessee, being right in the middle of Chattanooga, Knoxville, and Nashville, you can get in a car and be there in an hour and a half.
Sure.
So it's close enough to drive to. And
all interstate.
Yeah, it's all interstate. And I just think Tennessee Tech is in a perfect place to move forward.
I agree.
And I think the president wants to, Dr. Odom wants to increase the enrollment to about 12,000, which is going to bring about, you know, yearly about $80 million mm-hmm. into this area mm-hmm. just by increasing the enrollment, you know. And so I think, you know, we're standing on the edge of something very big, mm-hmm. you know, if we follow through and we support. And, you know, it's tough. We both played at Tennessee mm-hmm. Tech, and you played on the new field at that time back in
66,
the first game on overall field.
Let me correct that. In the post of the program, it states, I think it states maybe 67, Coach Wade. Well, I never knew Coach Wade. I've met him once or twice. Wilburn Tucker was my coach.
Right.
And we played in 1966, the first game played on that field. And we had real grass. We didn't smoke it. We had real grass. And the stadium wasn't even finished, per se. But we had maybe the lower levels and then played. So I went up there and tried to correct that. I don't know if it is or not.
Wow, that's interesting.
But that was Schreiber's first year.
Wow.
And that was Larry's a good friend of mine. And Jerry Cantrell's first – no, he was a senior, I guess. But we had Terry Parks, and we had a good team.
Oh, yeah. They had a lot of good teams during those time frames. And, you know, we both shared the opportunity to come back every summer at the alumni weekend.
Right,
and, you know, your group really is instrumental in getting those things going.
Well, that's good. I miss talking about my family so much. My wife is Pam. She's into everything. She's in the town, everything. She's got church and schools, and we have a T-shirt shop. Buy your T-shirts and live.
Yeah,
I've heard. But anyway.
I've heard about that, actually, even being in Cookeville.
Yeah, my son designs those shirts, and we print them. We've got our own print shop there. They do. I don't. But I'm real proud of my son and my daughter. They've done real well. My son is now the high school soccer coach, girls and boys.
I didn't know that.
Yes. Last year he went to the state for the first time ever.
Wow.
And this year he went to the regionals. Won the district, went to the regionals, got beat. But for 2 years, he's really taken off with that, and he does real well there. And he drives a school bus for the city. He's an electrician. He does it all.
Right.
I'm real proud of him. Just had his birthday. And my daughter, Terry, she's worked her job for 20-something years.
Yeah.
That's amazing right there, and doing real well. Got fine grandkids and got great grandkids, so we're doing
just
okay.
The fact you can stay in something 20-something years.
Yeah, factories too.
It's incredible.
Know, she works. And,
well, you know, the soccer, you mentioned the soccer and your son. I mean, you're going to the state tournament last year.
Yeah, first year.
I mean, through all this, but through all the stuff that
COVID,
they were dealing with at that time, that's amazing.
Let me think now. Was it year before last? You might be right there. COVID, I think, knocked it out last year.
Yeah.
So I guess it was.
Year before last. Well, God, I tell you what, still.
We had a great team this year, girls, and I had two granddaughters playing, of course, and they're seniors this year. And got a grandson playing. He's a freshman, or maybe a sophomore. I'm not sure there. But we're all athletes, all in the program, you know, go to all the games and everything. So, of course, we've got great coaches. Well, Lamley, we've got Dale Flay. He's been in the system a long time. And, of course, Leslie Riddle's our girls' coach, and Jimmy Miller's the boys' coach. So we've – Livingston, it seems like to me, just all in all, that we've – it seems like we're never on the bottom, and we're not necessarily ever on the top. But now we did have a bad season this year.
I wouldn't agree with you're never on top. That's definitely not true.
Well, we're up there, but you know, but we're there. Livingston County, Overton County has a good system, and we always have.
Well, I got to ask you, you let one go. You know, Jimmy Maynard got out of Livingston, and he's had a 42-year coaching career. And I saw you at the function with him, you know, just a great celebration of his career. And but, you know, in my mind, as time went on through the years, I really just thought eventually Jimmy would get back to Overton County.
I'm not even going to get into that. There's probably some issues there. But Jimmy Maynard was a great quarterback.
Great
quarterback. And he and his brother-in-law at the time, Mark Ogletree, came to Tech. Mark Ogletree, bless his heart, rest his soul, was a good player, good linebacker. And Jimmy played, of course. But his intellectual ability in this coaching business, I mean, he's one of the top in the state for sure.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed that last night. I thought it was really neat for all the people, friends and coaches to come honor him, you know, and his family too. I know all his family, and they really stuck with him over everywhere. He had a game there. They were Teresa and Kathy and Bo and the two daughters, Chelsea and Ariel, and they were just always there.
Yeah, talking, you know, White County, Riverdale.
Baxter,
Smith County.
But Livingston has eluded him, and I don't see it's probably a good thing either way. You know, if he'd have come there, he'd have been a great coach. You know, that's not going to change wherever he goes.
I was really kidding about it. I mean, he's made those choices based on what his needs were at that time. He's done a great job everywhere he's been, but you guys haven't suffered at all.
No.
Livingston has been in good hands for this whole time. So,
Eldridge and that bunch.
Oh, gosh. State championship there along the way. Basketball is phenomenal. You got some good sports.
I'm not mistaken, he won the football state championship that year, and I believe his twin brother, Mark. Won the basketball state championship at wherever
he is. Mark from Overton County. He's been gone ever since. You know, that's done an incredible job, and a great basketball coach up there at Maryville, and just a lot of Overton County folks out there, and I know you're proud of them.
Oh, yeah. I kind of take that pride out of my conversation, but I'm grateful.
Yeah.
I am so grateful for my life and what God has done for me and allowed me to do and give me the ability to do whatever, and I try to take advantage of that.
Well, good or bad, or no matter how you got there, you've been around the world.
Yes,
you've had some jobs and you know, talking about the pipeline and working overseas, that's quite an adventure, you know, that you've been able to part. No matter how you got there, it was quite an adventure. And I tell you what, I've been looking forward to this one for a long time, and I appreciate you on such short notice joining me today. And we're gonna have you back.
I figured you couldn't find anybody. There's Sadler. Let me get him.
No, well, I've got a list. You know, I've got a bulleted list, and most of the time, whenever I run into him, is when I'll say something.
I see your mom a lot. Every time I see Brenda, I love her to death. And Sandy was a good friend of mine, her sister, and Carson and all of them.
Yeah.
I mean, I know all your family have been entwined, and the Stoopses and your wife and all that. And it's a good – it makes me feel good to see you and talk to you whenever.
Well, I appreciate it. We appreciate you coming on the show. We'll do it again sometime.
All right. Merry Christmas.
Thanks a lot. You too.